Hey guys, thank you so much for sharing all the information we're putting out at Operation Free Dalton. It's crucial we get this out as soon as possible, as far and wide as we can, because we have to hold these officials accountable for the weird they do and the discrepancy between bond amounts given to people with multiple priors, murders, rape. It's unspeakable, some of the things these people have done versus Dalton's unprecedented $1.25 million bond. And the DA, Robert Nash, wanted to give him no bond. But the same DA gave individuals who committed multiple murders, priors, bonds less than $100,000. A lot of people think this is attacking white people, freedom of speech, and then, kid gloves for the crimes black people commit. But what we have to understand is, and black community, listen when I say this. When they give these low bonds to the people terrorizing your communities, they're doing that to hurt you. That's a weapon. As much as this high bond is a weapon against Dalton and free speech, letting these criminals go for next to nothing, knowing they're gonna kill people you know, your friends and family at some point. These people are the problem. Dalton was exposing that. He found himself in the middle. And before I play the audio of Dalton, I just want to let you know that Dalton's not like he's just a dude. He's a contractor who got canceled over this word. He took the word that ruined his life and found himself not being able to have a job. I mean, the cancel efforts to get him fired and to not get him work when he started his own business, a lot of people put a lot of effort into that. And black people, let's just be honest. The blackest thing you could do if you had your life ruined over talking to a white guy, call him cracker. Blackest thing you could do is just walk around call everyone cracker if you're gonna get paid for it. That was the spirits of the civil rights movement, right? And he was just starting to earn respect and build bridges between the black community who understood that he wasn't doing it out of hostility or that he didn't or that he hated black people. That wasn't the issue. You saw how he lit up when he would ask people, do you believe in free speech? And then, drop the N-bomb. And, if they were cool about it, he matched that energy and he loved it and he lit up. And I saw that he was on that arc. He was dramatizing a lot of pent-up things in the culture. And I think that's why they wanted him out. Before I play the audio, I just want to say stop using Dalton as a symbol to escalate conflict or to lynch him. He's a person. And we all have something in common with Dalton, whether you're white
All right,
or
folks,
black.
that is a video from Archetype Theory. And again, I thought I'd just let, his video play because he's actually done a lot of work behind the scenes helping Dalton, aka Chud the Builder. And I'll show you some of the information that he's been able to compile proving just how unfair and politicized the arrest of Chud the Builder has been. More on the other side, folks. Stay with us. We still have Cuba to talk about and Iran and so much more. Don't go anywhere. It's the War Room, AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link.
Nothing can stop me. The Force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Yes, Alex. Yes. Ready you are.
This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Hope you are sharing our links at alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. We're also on Rumble and X. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Let's keep talking about Thomas Massie, because you can see the desperation these people feel in getting Thomas Massie out. You know, there's a couple of silver linings with this. In a lot of ways, Massie has already won, right? Because if he wins, this is going to be a huge black eye to the Israeli lobby. It will basically prove that they can pull out all the stops, they can bring all of the weapons they have to bear, and they can still fail if the American people rally around the target of their attack. So that would be huge. If he loses, it's not exactly like it's not something to feel bad about. You know, it's like people are like, oh, InfoWars shut down. It's like, yeah, and not because we failed, not because we, you know, weren't popular, didn't have support, didn't have an audience. We got screwed. We got screwed over. And that's how Thomas Massie will feel. Because that's the truth. It's not like I ran a fair, you know, race and darn it, the other guy was just better. No, it's because literally tens of millions of dollars were poured into this specifically because Thomas Massie is a good congressman and they want to teach a lesson to people who want to be good congressmen. Remember, it was Thomas Massie himself that said, a lot of other people in Congress feel like me. They just are afraid to stand up. Thomas Massie wins, it'd be a big push towards those people for like, hey, you can do this. You can stand up for the American people and you will be rewarded by the American people. You know, I had a video a while ago that I repost pretty regularly whenever anything racial comes up where I'm talking about, you know, if only black people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Hispanic people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Jewish people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. But if only white people voted, everywhere would be Republican. But in that, I'm also talking about the AIPAC handlers. This was after Thomas Massie revealed that to Tucker Carlson, that every Republican had an AIPAC handler who basically directed them and told them how to vote, and they would call for advice about how to deal with certain issues, and they were the Israeli first conduit that got all of the Republicans aligned. And the problem is that that becomes their sole source of power. The way our system is set up is that you're supposed to get the power from the people and from the people's approval. And so that should be your only concern. As long as I serve the people, they'll return me to office. I'll retain my power. My power is born from the people's approval. But when AIPAC can come in and override the people's approval, can dictate the people's approval, or can work behind the scenes to, you know, hamstring and destroy you, you know, without anybody knowing, which is the real power of AIPAC. It's not just about the money. People point to the AIPAC money. It's about the connections. It's about the control and influence of the media. It's about the connections to the current administration and what they can get Trump to do for them. It's about way, way, way more than money. And the money is really the least important aspect of this. Also, the money given to the politician is not anywhere near the total amount spent on the race by PACs and super PACs and all these things, publishing ads for them and doing whatever else. So what in effect has actually happened here is a total inversion or just in a word, the complete destruction of our democratic system, because the people in power no longer have to appeal to the citizenry. The citizenry is kept in a state of ignorance and stupidity and simply dictated who they vote for every couple of years, and they tend to fall in those party lines. So as long as they serve AIPAC, they're good. That has become their highest priority. That's become the only priority. You can lose it everything else. As long as AIPAC has your back, as long as you support Israel and they support you, you'll probably get into office. And AIPAC brags about this and says, you know, 99% of the people they support get into office. They have a pretty good track record on this because they know who to pick and they ensure that they succeed. So the Thomas Massie run is like a very unique instance where enough attention is on this, enough love surrounds Thomas Massie, that perhaps we can reset the priorities of the congressman, at least in this instance, and for now. We can show the congressman, if you serve AIPAC, you're not getting our support. If you serve Israel, it's going to be a net negative. And that needs to be the ultimate result of this, is that the burden of taking AIPAC money has to be greater than the benefit of being chosen by AIPAC. Now, AIPAC already recognizes that they're unpopular, and so they're laundering their money now through other PACs they set up, like Kentucky MAGA. Not Kentucky, not MAGA. It's an Israeli front group hiding their activity so that AIPAC's name isn't on it. The Democrats are doing this to an even greater degree because of how unpopular it is there. That's a step in the right direction. That's a good development for us. We don't want AIPAC controlling our politicians, and if they do, we want them to have to do it clandestinely because they're so unpopular to the wider American population. But this really has become a litmus test. It really has become a chance for us to see whether or not serving the American people is enough, or whether serving Israel is enough. And then, of course, the silver lining on top of all of it is that if Thomas Massie loses, it's likely he runs for president next. And he, out of anybody, has done the most work in reaching across the aisle and could very well be a dark horse surprise to everybody if he's able to not just, you know, maybe run a third party, maybe do what Donald Trump did and shake up the Republican primary in 2028. So it's sort of a win-win situation regardless, but don't let that stop you from voting. If you're in Kentucky and if you're in this district, you got to get out to vote. It's, I don't want to hear an excuse, well, you know, I really wanted to run for president, so I didn't vote for him. No, this needs to be slapped out of the hands of AIPAC. Mark Levin says, I had Ed Galrain on my radio show last evening. He's running against Massie. He's a superb patriot, and he'd be a great congressman. I endorsed him and endorse him now. The election is Tuesday. Turn out his key. Make sure to vote. And then the redhead libertarian says, best endorsement of Thomas Massie that I've ever seen. Folks, do you love Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin? Then vote Ed Galrain and get the hell out of our country. Just despicable. Chris Minahan has the article at Information Liberation, Thomas Massie versus Israeli Lobby. Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie is fighting to hold on to a seat in Congress in the face of record spending from the Israeli lobby and an onslaught of attacks from President Trump. The Republican Jewish Commission, Coalition, AIPAC, Miriam Adelson, and Paul Singer are all part of the Israeli lobby. And that's where the money comes from my opponent, Ed Galrain, Massie told ABC News' George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And it will be a referendum on foreign policy, whether Israel gets to dictate that by, you know, bullying members of Congress. And I'm one they have not been able to bully. So now they're putting all the brunt, the force on me. But you can tell that I'm ahead in the polls and they're desperate. That's why they're sending the Secretary of War to my district tomorrow. That's why the president's losing sleep and tweeting about this. That's why AIPAC has dumped another $3 million into this race this weekend, because they're panicked and they really haven't been able to gain a lead in this race. So again, they see this as almost an existential problem here, that if Thomas Massie gets to remain in Congress, their power will have been substantially weakened in the eyes of the other congressmen. And they are pulling out all the stops, and it is showing their desperation. This is not Donald Trump, you know, putting the cherry on top. This is not, you know, Pete Hegseth just like, yeah, I was in town anyway. No, they're desperate. They're all flying in to try to get to destroy Thomas Massie, which just tells you everything you need to know about them, right? Because Thomas Massie is a great politician. And he's a great conservative and he's libertarian. They can't, you know, blame this. I mean, they can't blame this on anything, really. That is, he's played it so well. Because if he was more radical, if he was like, you know, an identitarian, they could blame it on that, right? Like they, like they've done with other people where, who was it that said, you know, he's like, white supremacy, how's that a bad thing? Or like white nationalism, what? We are a white nation. And they just like kick him off all the, how dare you? How dare you recognize white people's contribution to this country? You racist. And they kick him out. It's like Thomas Massie, he hasn't stepped on any tripwires. And all of his opposition to Israel is been so sort of principled. Like even with Tucker Carlson, they'll point to him defending Islam and go, oh, he's on the side of Muslims or whatever. But Thomas Massie's played this so carefully and has been so, you know, resolutely good at staying on topic. Like they've got nothing. They really have nothing. They just want to call him stupid and an obstructionist. They just want to insult him because they have no substantial criticisms to make. They can't claim that he's anti-Semite. They can't claim that he's a racist. They can't claim that he's a far-right, you know, tyrannical person. They've got nothing. So it's just insults and money. And if that wins, then we're screwed. And that's it. But the desperation. Oh, the desperation reeks, y'all. It's like, how much more desperate could you even get? They're sending Pete Hegseth to do this. And like, they're so desperate. They're like breaking the law. I mean, the AI videos that look real. Again, it's one thing if you're Spencer Pratt and you're, you know, putting the mayor of LA in a emperor's uniform and you're having them, you know, dictate policy like a queen. Okay, no one's believing that. It's not trying to be legitimate. It's not trying to be realistic. But then you've got AI videos running on Fox News of Thomas Massie holding hands with AOC and Ilhan Omar, and they look real. And it looks like security footage. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to doctor images and then present them as if they're real. But who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? What are you going to do? Sue them? Well, they're doing it through an LLC that they'll close down as soon as the election's over. So they're completely violating the law with these AI videos that are made to look real. Totally egregious. Totally insane. Oh, yeah, he betrayed President Trump. That's literally all they've got. Paid for by Kentucky MAGA, of course. That's not the only thing they're doing. They've got Donald Trump tweeting endlessly about this. He goes on and on about it. Third-rate congressman Thomas Massie, weak and pathetic, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it's just, I don't know, it's just beyond infuriating. I mean, what is there even to say? Let's go to the Clash Report video because this was, so Trump is tweeting about this endlessly, and then they're sending Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War to go campaign, which I think would also be illegal. They're using illegal AI creations to trick the boomers. It doesn't have a number. It's one we added, so it'd be number 30, I guess. Sorry, talking to the crew about which clip to play here because it just came out, so I added it later on, so it's not on my video list. But this just came out from President Trump, who has once again injected himself into this race in an embarrassing and shameful act of desperation because they have no actual arguments. They're relying on the force of personality from the Trump cult. And it's just pathetic and disgusting and, in my opinion, backstabbing to Thomas Massie, who has only ever supported the American people. Let's watch Trump.
I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. I'm in the Oval Office and we're in a fight against the worst congressman in the history of our country. His name is Thomas Massie. He's from Kentucky. I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. He is so bad. Got an election coming up. He's running against a great guy, a great patriot, Ed Gilrain. He's fantastic. But forget that. Massie's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Always voting against Republicans and good values. So get rid of Thomas Massie.
He's got an A+ on the conservative report card. He votes with Trump like 90, I think 1% of the time is the actual stat. And the only times he's broken with Trump, it's been on things that Trump was wrong about in the first place. And of course, it's so much like Trump just be like, he's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Oh, great point. Yeah, great argument. I didn't realize. I didn't realize he was worse than whoever, you know, any of the Democrats right now, literally any of them are worse than Thomas Massie. But it's like, I don't know. I'm sure the 1840s had some not good, you know, congressmen too. It's just a stupid thing to say because Thomas Massie is like more conservative than just about any Republican in Congress. But it's like, you might as well, you know, I'm surprised he didn't come out and making a video about how Thomas Massie was 2 weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. I mean, Thomas Massie has been routinely enhancing and weaponizing uranium in his basement for 47 years. For 47 years, Thomas Massie has been the sole force behind every single terrorist attack. Did you know that? Did you know that for 47 years, Thomas Massie and his children have been chanting death to America? Did you know that? It's crazy, but it's totally true. It's just as true as it is for Iran. Liberty score. Let's see. Does he have the best Liberty score available? 96%. 96%. Is anybody higher than him? That's what I want to know. Does anybody have a higher Liberty score for voting in favor of personal liberty and against, you know, liberalism and socialism? So it really is just pathetic. And it really is literally exactly the same thing that happened with the war in Iran. I can't help but see the similarities where it's just like, oh, this would be an easy victory. You know, as long as you're doing it, you're such a genius. You did Venezuela so well. And remember how Marjorie Taylor Greene collapsed underneath the force of your personality, your honor, your magnificence, Donald Trump? All we need is for you to take out Thomas. It'll be easy. It'll be an easy in and out, you know, 48-hour operation to destroy Thomas Massie. It's not going to be a quagmire. It's certainly not going to, you know, be bad for you. Israel needs this, Trump. So, yeah, it's we're run by Israel. Our country is just run by Israel. And I think that's all there is to it. And it just sucks having a slave as a president. It really does. It's the pits. It's the worst. Having a president who is just a pitiful, abject slave of a foreign state that despises us, it's really sickening. And remember, Miriam Adelson, who's Trump's number one backer, who he gets up on podium and he's like, Miriam Adelson doesn't care about America, but boy, does she love Israel. And I do everything she says. Cool, Trump. Great. Yeah, fantastic. Remember, she doesn't really have a lot of casinos in America anymore. The vast majority of her casino operations right now are in Macau, off the coast of China, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And she's the one pouring money into defeating Thomas Massie. So you have an Israeli who makes her money in China destroying Thomas Massie. Oh, look, it's all the other people that Donald Trump has gone after. That's hilarious. Is this, I assume it's, these are the top ones. All right, top scores. That's so funny because Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously, attacked by Trump. Paul Gosar, I think, has been attacked by Trump. Lauren Boebert is now on Donald Trump's crap list and is he's attacking her now and wants to unseat her and is now reaching out for another puppet in Colorado to get her, Chip Roy. He's up for re-election this year. And then Thomas Massie. So do they all have 96? So they've all got great scores. So it's literally all of the people Donald Trump is at war with are the top liberty score achievers. The high score achievers in liberty are the ones that Donald Trump is tearing down and destroying and kicking out of the Republican Party. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is Tucker Carlson on Thomas Massie, what he thinks of this entire thing.
Miriam Adelson is spending whatever it takes to take the seat away from him because he committed the crime of describing how things actually work in the U.S. Congress. Anyone who gets the idea that maybe I'll get to Congress and tell the truth about how things actually work, you'll be crushed. If they are successful in doing this, crushing a man, defaming a man, slandering a man, attacking his family purely for the crime of telling the truth about them, about how they operate, about the nature of the Epstein class, then you have to wonder, why are we voting in the first place? What is the point of all of this? Is there a reason to participate in the process? If in the end some Israeli casino lady can come in and just determine the outcome, that's not democracy. It's just straight up teeth-bared oligarchy. It's shut up and obey. And so while we can, it's probably worth doing whatever it takes within the bounds of the law to prevent that from happening. Because crushing Thomas Massie for the crime of telling the truth is itself a moral crime. And yet in Washington, the only people who are punished are those who told the truth. And at some point that has to stop, or the system itself lacks all legitimacy.
There you go. Tucker Carlson pointing out what we should all know by now. This really is a struggle, a battle that will determine in some not insignificant way whether American is sovereign anymore or whether we are just the playground for oligarchs. And that certainly seems to be where we're headed, especially with, you know, things like this, accelerating federal permitting of data center infrastructure. This is something we reported on at the time, but went largely unremarked upon. And it was, of course, the federal government basically expediting the creation of all of these data centers. Because what we're talking about when we're talking about the conflict between the Israel first and the America first, what we're talking about is the conflict between globalism and nationalism, really, at the end of the day, and whether the Republican Party represents supporting Israel and nothing more and nothing less, because with that incumbent alongside supporting Israel is supporting big tech, supporting the data centers, supporting the surveillance state that they're trying to impose on all of us. Or are we in principle against this as Americans? It's really what it all comes down to. And it's not a coincidence that it's the Epstein files, the data centers. I put out a poll yesterday on X or the day before, and the results were a little bit more one-sided than I expect. But my point was, I basically asked, are you pro-data center or anti-data center? And then are you pro-Israel or anti-Israel? Because I have this working theory, and it seems consistent on across everybody I follow on X. If you're against Israel, you're against the data centers. These shouldn't really have anything to do with each other, but they do. They obviously are very intimately tied up with one another. Why is that? And what does that mean for us as Americans as we head to the polls for this primary? Do you support the international oligarch, big tech, corporate panopticon? Or do you believe in the American system and our foundation and the principles as elaborated on by the founding fathers? I guess that's the question that's being asked right now. Again, we'll get back into this on the other side. But there are more sales that I have not told you yet about at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'll say it again. Today is the day. Do you decide to continue to suffer brain fog and lack of energy and lack of vitality and just sort of stumble through life doing the bare minimum to get by? Or do you seize life by the horns and make it your friend? Or do you make it your friend by maximizing your health and therefore making it easier to achieve your dreams? By the way, even if you don't take the supplements, the merchandise that we have on there is the highest quality, very stylish, very cool. But I suggest you try the T3 iodine. I suggest you try the Life Force. Both those are buy one, get one free right now on thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so. Most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Thomas Massey's in the fight for America's life right now against the Israeli lobby. And, of course, we've been connecting over the last couple days on Thursday and Friday. We were joined by Tiffany Cianci getting the exclusive Thomas Massey speech and interview. Very exciting to see so many people, you know, put the boots on the ground and get there for that great congressman. We're getting an update from her. She's going to call in and just give us a very quick update. I know I was watching her. I saw an X today. She put out a video about what she's had to do just health-wise to deal with all the work that she's been doing. So, I mean, she's really, you know, busting her butt. And a lot of people are of getting Thomas Massey elected. So we're going to check in on that. I do want to go to a video now from James O'Keefe because we got some good news here. James O'Keefe and his investigation into the fraud being committed with homeless people by the California government, who will get homeless people to sign up for things like petitions in exchange for cash. Of course, we had him on when this investigation first started, and he basically said, we're going to be releasing videos until we get some legal consequence. Well, it appears as though that legal consequence has arrived, and they're even crediting James O'Keefe and OMG Investigations for the break. Let's watch his announcement today.
So first, I want to talk about voter fraud and the case of United States versus Brown Armstrong. And we'll have a graphic up there in a moment. The Department of Justice has charged a longtime California signature gatherer under 52 U.S.C. Section 10307, subsection C, with one count of paying another person to register to vote in a federal election. The defendant, Brenda Lee Brown Armstrong, has signed a plea agreement and has admitted her guilt on this charge. According to the plea agreement, and my colleague Bill Asaley will be able to answer any specific questions about it, she worked as a petition circulator, aka signature gatherer, here in Los Angeles for approximately 20 years. And starting in 2025 or so, after Ms. Brown Armstrong had a practice of going down to Skid Row here in Los Angeles, getting homeless people to sign these signature petitions that had to do with qualifying ballot measures and et cetera, she would sometimes find that the signatures would be disqualified because the people signing these signature petitions weren't actually registered to vote. So to remedy this flaw in her business arrangements, she would then gather, starting in 2025, stacks of voter registration forms from the Los Angeles County Registrar of Voters, and then go to Skid Row and downtown Los Angeles to have homeless people first sign the voter registration forms and then sign the signature petitions. And she did this in exchange for cash and other items of value, inducements both for the voter registration and for the signature petitions. These were often small sums of cash, just a few dollars, as well as cigarettes and phone cards. On several occasions, when the homeless person had no formal address to enter on the voter registration form, Ms. Brown Armstrong provided them with a fake address, namely her own former address in Los Angeles, to write on the voter registration form. Now, the potential charges and sentence, rather, would include 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $10,000. This case is important because it shows how easy it is under California law to corrupt the state's voter rolls and thereby corrupt the state and federal elections administered by the state. Because when someone registers.
So that's amazing. Again, just absolute feather in the cap of James O'Keefe. He is responsible for the investigation that led to this result. Hopefully they'll be thinking twice now about using homeless people and, basically committing fraud to get their signatures. And yeah, it's a very good thing. I mean, what else is there to say? This is what happens when citizens get involved, get active, and force their government to do what's right. So big congratulations to James O'Keefe. And of course, we look forward to his next attack against the corruption. Here, breaking news, James O'Keefe investigation leads to DOJ indictment of election fraudsters in L.A., Brenda Brown, the Skid Row election petitioner O'Keefe Media caught on hidden camera, has pled guilty. Election fraudster Brenda Brown has been charged with 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of $10,000. Arrest and accountability. Very, very good to see. And again, you can only imagine what they were threatening her with if she pled to 5 years in prison. Yeah, it was a pretty big crime that she committed. So again, we'd like to see more of those arrest happening, and hopefully that'll have some mitigating effect on the ambitions of the Democrats. I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and religion here in just a second. Before I do that, I want to go to clip number 4. This has been going totally viral, and it's like one of the funniest videos ever, unintentionally funny videos ever. And it's not supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be these people bragging about their life choices and their lifestyle, and everybody's just clowning on them like they're insane. We'll go to that video in just a second. This is kind of the thing, folks. We are at the end of the day a libertarian outlet. I know that you know people have a bad connotation or a off the mark connotation with how I interpret that phrase. Libertarian, meaning to me that liberty is the highest goal, it's the highest value. And once again, liberty to me doesn't mean pure freedom. You can be free in the wilderness somewhere. You can be free by yourself and, you know, fine, you're free. But what good is that? Liberty is a combination of civilization and freedom. Liberty is when your entire civilization, your entire community works together to stop threats to you and your family so that you can enjoy your life as you see fit without coercion or suppression or oppression from the government or corporations or your heavily armed neighbor. Liberty requires civilization to even exist. That's how I interpret it and see it. And that just means that it's my northern light. It's my guiding light. It's what we're reaching towards. Now, to get there, you know, maybe you got to do some unlibertarian things, right? To get to a place of liberty, you first have to have safety. To get to safety, you have to have good men who are more violent than the bad men, right? You have to have laws that establish order from which peace can grow. So don't get me wrong. If I say I'm libertarian, that doesn't mean I just think everybody can do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. I think everybody is required to uphold a certain standard in their own virtue for all of us to enjoy the benefits of liberty and freedom. However, there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with this freedom. Because just like liberty is not a license to do anything, it's an obligation to do the right thing. Well, your life as a human being, you can make whatever choices you want, and I don't believe I have a right to come in and dictate to you what those right choices are. I do, however, have an obligation to try to express to you so that you voluntarily make the right choices. What a stupid idea everything that the left believes is, and how it will inevitably lead to disaster, ruin, and misery. Maybe not now, maybe not for a couple of decades, but there is no other outcome to this. So here's the video that's been going viral. Hilarious that they thought this was a brag. They thought this was a flex. Let's watch the dinks. Says, so when are you two gonna have kids? Us. And then they look at, look at all the places they've been. Oh, it's so exciting. Look at the photographs of them. Oh, they look so happy. So here's the thing. The first response I saw to this was somebody who photoshopped all of those books on the shelf of a Goodwill, basically saying, yeah, once you die, these things are just going to go to Goodwill. Here's the thing, though. Nobody would buy those books. Who would buy those books at Goodwill? They're photo albums of those people. Nobody cares who those people are. I wouldn't even look at those books if they were on the internet. Like, if they were like, hey, look at our trip to Bali. Look at our trip through Africa. It'd be like, why? Who are you? I don't care. What? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. So it's almost like, you know, people go, oh, those are just going to go to Goodwill. No, they're just going to be thrown out. They're going to be burned. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Who are you? Oh, we're going to look. I'm going to buy a picture book of some random couple's trip to Greece. Why? Who would buy that? No, it's nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, if you had kids, those books would become treasured heirlooms. Those would become something that you pass down generation upon generation. Children who won't be born for 100 years could crack those open and say, what a wild time my ancestors lived. Look at what, you know, my forefathers did. But you're not going to leave anything for anybody. So who cares? What is the point of this? And who do you think you're, like, it's amazing to me. Millennials are asking one question before having kids. It's not about money. What do they say? I haven't seen this one. What do they say we're asked? What do they say we millennials are asking? We've seen all the headlines about falling birth rates and the global trend to delay starting a family rather than getting married and having children early in their 20s. Many couples are delaying parenthood until their 30s or even their 40s. Many presume that's predominantly a financial decision, but that's not the only reason millennials are holding off. The question isn't just whether they can afford to start a family, but can they cope with the mental load that comes with it? Good Lord, you weak scum. You weak little scum. Do you have any idea what our... See, this is the problem. If you... Like, you got to respect history to have a future, right? That's what I'm always thinking of. Like, if ever as a parent you're like, are we doing enough? I just remember the images I've seen, the paintings that are hanging on the walls of my house of people literally taking, you know, going on the Oregon Trail 6 months pregnant, giving birth in a desert somewhere in Utah and making it to California. It's like, did they worry about the hardships that came along with it? Did they stress out about the hardships of having a baby? You really, it's fine, y'all. don't hurt the baby. Everything's fine. Give the baby food, change its diaper. That's literally all you really have to do. I mean, you can be a better parent than that, and you should, but like, I don't know. It's not that hard, folks. It's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. I literally would rather have another kid than have to go through airport security. That's how I feel. Every one of those books I just see, God, how many hours do they spend sitting some godforsaken airport waiting for airport security? That sounds like it sucks. It's really not hard. And it really actually makes things a lot easier once the kid is old enough to like do work. You put them to work. It's great. It's amazing. But it's like, that's it. That's the best argument they have. Sure, we don't have kids. Sure, we're a genetic dead end. Because it's selfishness is what it is at the end of the day, which is why I relate it to like libertarianism. Because it's like, you have an obligation to have children. If you don't, you are a selfish person. Because once you have, and you can only realize this once you have kids, because you pour so much into the kid before the kid's even conscious. So you just like, you know, you're like, I'm sacrificing so much. I'm giving so much of myself to this kid, and they have no idea, and they'll never appreciate it. They just never will. They can't. They literally cannot possibly appreciate it until they do it themselves. And so, you know, you're like, I'm giving everything to this kid. I'm getting nothing in return. But one day that kid's going to have to give what I gave to him. He's going to have to pass that on to his kid. So it will be paid on to future generations. But what you realize when you do that, you go, man, this is what my parents did for me. How selfish is it to receive this unbelievable gift of life that your parents poured into you and then just go, I'm just going to keep it for myself, though. No, but it's mine and I want it. And it's just for me. It's like, well, actually, this is a gift that's been passed on since the beginning of time. And you're now deciding to squander it like a selfish heathen. How dare you? So it's just like, who is falling? Are people actually watching that? And they're like, if I don't have kids, I can get a picture book of my trip to Africa. Wouldn't I rather have that? Wouldn't I rather be able to show my friends? And it's funny because once you have kids, especially if you have kids, like before your friends have kids, it becomes a little bit tedious having to hear about your friends' lives because you're sitting there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's hard to have kids, but like, it's so worth it. It's just not a question, right? But you've spent a lot of time. You have no, I mean, all the cliches are true, right? When you have a kid, people go, oh, you're never going to sleep again. You go, ha ha, yeah, I get it. And then like 3 months in, you're like, am I ever going to sleep again? They were right. I forgot how to sleep. So it's true. Like it's a lot of hard work, but it's so worth it. It like doesn't even, it's just crazy. They're kind of like dog. Yeah. It's kind of like having a dog. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's so unlike having a dog. It's crazy. And so you're talking to your friends without kids and they're like, oh, I'm so tired. I've been working so hard. And you're just like, oh, really? You think you know what tired is? You think you even can use that word in my presence? And it's just everything your friends are doing without kids is just, you don't care anymore. Like, we went on this trip. And you're like, okay, so what? Do you have kids yet? Tell me about your kids. Because then everything about kids is like fascinating and hilarious. And, you know, you want to hear about the experiences that your friends had. And you just, that dink mentality, dual income, no kids, it just becomes pathetic. And you really can't see it until you have kids. I mean, you might be able to tell that, you know, what these people value and who they are. It is pathetic. And that should be obvious to anybody. But until you have kids, it's hard to understand just how, like, when your friends are talking about their vacation, it's just like, okay, so what? I have a child. I have three new lives that like are a constant explosion of hilarity. But yeah, tell me about your friggin' Bali. Oh, the sand was nice, was it? Oh, the ocean was blue. Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh, like more blue than you've ever seen before. Well, okay. Who cares? Literally, who cares? So it's just pathetic. So again, you can do whatever you want. You can make whatever choices you want in your life. I certainly feel very strongly for people that, you know, want kids and don't have it. I feel bad knowing how hard it would be to, you know, hear somebody like me saying stuff like this, but like, obviously that's not your fault. But for people who are choosing it, they deserve shame. They deserve to be ridiculed and laughed at for like being children themselves, literally being children themselves, to where like I have with kids, it's just, you know, they don't understand certain things, and that's okay. You know, you got to let them just be silly little children, right? And that's how these people, they're silly little children traveling around the world, taking pictures of themselves like anybody cares, like they even care. Like nothing, I cannot imagine anything more pathetic than sitting there and going through your own photo album, your own solipsistic narcissism journal, reminding yourself what a great mojito you had at that place in Bali. Whoa. It's just so pathetic. So this is like, the thing is, you see those people and I genuinely feel bad for them. I'm laughing at them. I'm ridiculing them. I don't believe they deserve like respect or empathy. But like, I want to wake them up. It's like, you don't even realize what you're missing. And it's pathetic and sad. You think you're dunking on people and it sucks. You suck and you don't even know that. And it's very sad. But this is the result of our culture of narcissism, of encouraging, you know, self-obsession and self-advancement. And it's all about the self. And they want you to think that a trip to Timbuktu is somehow equivalent of a new child. It's crazy. It really is. But all this stuff is intertwined. There's a reason why we're so off the rails. There's a reason why everything is getting worse and everybody can see it, but nobody's doing anything to stop it. It's because we have fully embraced the rejection of our traditional values because we have forgotten the underlying purpose of those traditional values. Nowadays, you hear the way the left wing talks about stuff, and it's as if everybody that was born before me was a superstitious idiot that thought, you know, an angry sky god would strike them down if they didn't get married and have children. No, the entire construct of Western civilization was born incrementally over thousands of years of trial and error, and it was the best setup any culture in the world has ever achieved. 1950s, 1960s, I mean, America nailed it, and nowhere has ever been as good as that place was in terms of the dad works, he works a reasonable amount, he gets paid well, the mom stays home, the community is close, the streets are safe. It worked. It worked because when things didn't work, we didn't continue to do it. And the things that did work, we continued to do. And now they've ripped out the underlying foundation that built all of that stuff. And so they point to their traditions and go, why the hell are we doing this? Why do we do this? We get married for life? That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's actually natural. It's good. It's the way the world is supposed to be. People come in with these completely rootless and unmoored ideas about ideally what they would like the world to be like, but it's not the way the world is. So of course, all of their ideas are inevitably destructive. And when you look at the Alex Jones Network and you look at what Alex has done over the last 30 years he's been on air, it has been a reinforcement of the underlying values so that the principles themselves can be maintained and upheld. But without the underlying values, it's all just nonsense. And you got to know where to apply these things and where not to. And you've got to live it. You've got to live it yourself. You've got to be the example, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And a lot of people out there, they'll complain a lot about the marriage rates. Are they getting married and having kids? They'll complain a lot about the, you know, collapse of fertility. What are they doing to increase it? You have to actually get involved and do this stuff. Or at the very least, you have to try to fix it in your own life. See, we always have this two-pronged approach. I've explained a lot of times, but essentially, we're not here to blackpill you. We're not here to even tell you things with the hope of like selling you products. Because I see this a lot. I don't really listen to it as much. But I used to listen to a lot of like true crime stuff. And it was like comical how often it would be, you know, a story about an innocent family, unsuspecting family, you know, sleeping in bed at night when masked men come in and just, and it's like the gory details. It's like the goriest thing ever. And then it's like, we'll be right back. And it goes to a commercial break and it's like, do you need home security? Right. And it's sort of the most blatant example of just like everyone's coming to kill you, but we can provide the solution. We're not grifters. We're not like telling you scary stories to then try to sell you a security blanket. What we're doing is trying to inform you about the real reason why the fertility rate is collapsing, the chemical attack that your body's under, the real reason why our entire society seems replete and filled to the brim with absolute morons, because there has been a consistent and deliberate and orchestrated and coordinated campaign to dumb us down chemically and, you know, by destroying the education system and all this other stuff. And remember, if you watch the population graph, the fertility graph in America, it is 2007 that it falls off a cliff. It is actually economic. So we'll also talk to you about how, you know, what's happening in the economic sphere is about more than just people on Wall Street making a couple extra bucks. They're using the economy as a weapon to destroy humanity by making it prohibitively expensive for good people to continue to procreate while constantly replenishing the supplies of the third world so they can breed ad nauseum for the new immigrants to replace the people that you're killing off in your home country. It's all tied in together, and it's not a coincidence that people with families and spouses and children to take care of tend to be on our side politically, because it's only the desperate and alone that are looking for daddy government to come in and rescue them. So I hope you can support us in this mission. I hope that you can have your life changed in a positive way by not just listening to the information that we provide, but by actually physically fighting back against the attacks that you're under, that we don't want you to be scared of and beaten down by, but aware of and fighting back against. We make it incredibly easy for you to do that. Right now, you're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, which is incredibly powerful stuff, and the Shilajit caps and gummies, probably my favorite product on the store, which also, by the way, has been shown to increase testosterone. I'm not a doctor making medical claims, but certainly worth a try. So you're getting 40% off all of those on thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Red Tincture, Colostrum, and MK Ultra are all off 35% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're getting a full 30% off all apparel, that shirts, hats, and hoodies, thealexjonesstore.com. That's just how big our sales are. The smallest sale is 30% off, and nowhere gives you 30% off, except for us, thealexjonesstore.com.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install.
Copy that. Installing the module now.
Connection confirmed. All green. Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Instruction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.